Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn on an Evan Friday. ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. You ready for this, baby? I mean, it's a beautiful day in New York. And we haven't had a beautiful day in New York in a long time. I mean, it is like open the windows kind of day. Feeling good going into the weekend. Bart Scott, how you doing?
Kuda Matata, man. Can't complain. The streak continues, so all good in Ravens.
It is true. And then they, so the Ravens, they beat the Titans in the preseason. And why does that matter? It's preseason. Who cares, right? No, but it does matter. Why? 21 straight games the Ravens have won. But there's a lot to take out of that game from both sides. There's also a lot to take out of the other preseason game we had last night, the Giants and the Patriots as well. And then we get more preseason action tonight, as this is week one of the preseason. And Bart, I got to tell you, before we even get into the games last night, before we get into the games that we'll be seeing tonight and then throughout the weekend, your speech yesterday, our conversation that we had, that was a completely, again, as we always do, I just ask you a question and all of a sudden it just happens to be the right question. And you talking about your experience in your very first preseason game and what it meant to you as an undrafted free agent and why the preseason matters. That speech has already on our Instagram page, on our Twitter page, everything else, like, it's gotten thousands and thousands of views, tons of comments. Like, it's amazing how it just can affect people to be able to relate to the underdog, the guy that says, I need this game. I got to survive. Did you see anyone last night that kind of had that vibe going where they were like, all right, I'm about to let the league know?
Well, I like that kid Likely from the Ravens, man. Talk about a visible juice. I mean, this guy comes in, and you talk about adding that to Mark Andrews, a guy that can come in and be a matchup nightmare, guy that's high-pointing the ball. I mean, I think that's a guy that's ready to show up for prime time. Reminds me a lot of my teammate Daniel Wilcox, who a lot of people didn't realize probably one of the most athletic tight ends that we ever had, but just never really got a big opportunity to be the guy. Well, this guy doesn't have to be the guy. He can come in, and I believe the game has changed and has molded and came back to, like, his skill set. Not an overly big tight end, but a guy that got a lot of shake to him. Remind me of Aaron Hernandez as well.
Shake to him?
Yeah, man.
Did you wiggle, as they say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit him with the R2, L2 spin, speed button. You saw that happen where he caught a little flat pass, made one guy miss, stop. Two guys came and ended up inside. He came back outside, and he fell forward for another 4 yards. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenness.
Like that. How about the fact that one of the names that stole the show was the punter? What is it with Baltimore and special teams? They just figure it out. I mean, obviously, Justin Tucker is one of the best ever.
Well, John Harbaugh's special team coach. That's his thing.
This Jordan Stout, man. Like, punting matters, as you know, right? Punting matters.
Flip the field.
Yeah. And so you get a good punter, and they took him in the fourth round. You don't really see that too often, but they knew what they needed. They went out and got it, and he had a pretty good debut. Malik Willis, what'd you see there? A lot of people, like, saw some flashes of potential out of him. You also saw clearly, like, you know, as with every young quarterback, there's some times where you're like, wow, it's happening way too fast for him. Yeah. But there was some flashes there by Malik Willis for the Titans.
Yeah, and Tannehill better watch out, because if they come out with some type of Trey Lance package, some type of Lamar Jackson package that Joe Flacco had, and his team starts to struggle, it can be one of those moments where he can get Wally Pipp late in the season. Because like I told you, on my list was Tennessee as far as the team taking a big step back.
Right.
And if they taking a big step back, then the future starts now. So if the future starts now, that means that, you know, Ryan Tannehill can go around and he's going to be an Andy Dalton type of backup around this league, trying to figure out what he's going to do with the rest of his career, because he thought his life was going to end as a starter. You know, now he's going to, like I say all the time, once a man, twice a baby. And if you stay around long enough, you come in as kind of like a backup, a guy trying to figure it out, then you become the man, and then you're a baby again. And it may be time for him to be a baby a lot earlier than people expected.
Yeah, small window that he had in Tennessee. Now, again, they've had some success there, and he was able to reclaim his career after going there from Miami. But we'll see if the future is in the hands of Malik Willis going forward. Here's Damian Woody talking about exactly that. What he saw in Malik Willis, was he impressed?
Very impressed. Very impressed. The things that really impressed, you know, coming into the draft process, that's exactly what you saw from Malik Willis tonight. We saw that he's a strong, thick, big-bodied athlete at the quarterback position, and we saw the mobility on display. He had a touchdown run out there, and we also saw the arm strength. You know, I think Malik Willis had the strongest arm in the draft, and we saw that on display as well with the great deep ball touch. So we saw him do a couple things that were really highlighted in the draft process, and I thought this was a great start for Malik Willis tonight against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, so he's got people talking already, and that's certainly a good thing. Now, the other game was the Giants and the Patriots, and the Patriots didn't play their starters, no starters on defense, no starters on offense either. The bigger story, of course, the fact that the starters on offense, after not really looking very good at the beginning of training camp, but the Giants win the game late, 23-21, as if that matters. But let's first go with what we saw from the Giants with Brian Daboll now, his first game as a head coach, and a Giants offense with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley that, you know, is going to be under a lot of scrutiny this year because there's decisions to make on both of these guys. Are you going forward with both of these guys? The offensive line wasn't great, but there were moments for the Giants offense that made you say, all right, they might have something here. Listen to Harry Douglas. This is from First Take this morning. Harry Douglas said he saw something very similar, very familiar.
I love the way, and this is actually what I thought, though. Brian Daboll coming from the Buffalo Bills, right? Quick passing game, get the ball out of his hands quick. I love the eighth choice on third down. Saquon Barkley, you got an opportunity to break inside or break out. You broke out. Daniel Jones hit him in stride. But on the second series, watching Daniel Jones drop back, it's not there. Let me take my check down to the back that has a check stop right over the ball. Got it to him, got positive yardage. You seen the first third and five. Daniel Jones, he's not sitting back there waiting, just being a sitting duck. You know what? I'm athletic. I can run. Let me go ahead and get this first down. And then you see the fake the run and the slant to Colin Johnson, another tall wide receiver. And Kenny Golladay, if it wasn't for him dropping the ball on third down, they would have converted that one. And that probably would have finished that drive with the touchdown. So I know it's preseason, it's early on, but some of the things that I've seen out of the Buffalo Bills in Brian Daboll, I seen last night. The quick screens, getting the ball out quick, letting these playmakers do what they do.
And if you need that for Daniel Jones because he got hit hard again, Bart. He got hit hard a couple of times again, and he's got to get rid of the ball quickly. Otherwise, we're going to have more of the same that we've seen from Daniel Jones.
Well, understand, too, that in the first preseason game, you have very limited package in there. Nobody's scouting each other. You don't know what's going on. But the thing is, this team played practice against each other, and so they kind of learn the tendency. So if you put in a weak package, a light package, it's easy for them to, like, kind of understand what you're trying to do and who's in the game and personnel. You know, if they were playing a regular season game, it would be a little bit different as far as preparation.
I don't want my quarterback getting hit in a preseason game, though.
No, not like that. No, absolutely. That's true. And that's something they have to clean up, and Daniel Jones has to figure it out in the linemen. They're still figuring that chemistry out. You know, I give them more of the benefit of the doubt because they have a totally new system, new everything, right? So there's some things you just don't have in yet as far as seeing certain looks that you aren't accustomed to be able to have that full slide or mollying out from the backside or bringing in the receiver to motion in to kind of chip, you know, or before he go out for his route or to move the running back up when they see that A-gap blitz and they know you can't pick it up and you see quarterbacks make the check and tell the running back to move up closer. He's like 2 yards off the ball. You don't have that in yet. But it'll be something that you can add in later. The litmus test for me is always the third game because you've already seen the other teams play in preseason as well, and that's the game that's really truly like a real game. When you prepare, you actually go through the personnel, you talk about their weaknesses, their tendencies, and all that stuff. So I'm waiting to see the third game. But, you know, getting off to the first game, it's always up and down. Some teams get destroyed. Some teams look well. It's no indication of how they're going to be when the season starts.
Man, it's hard to judge anything about what you saw from the Patriots because, really, they didn't have their main guys out there, including Mac Jones and that offense. But what we did see is play calling by two different people. Matt Patricia did it in the first half, and then Joe Judge did it in the second half, at least when they changed the quarterbacks up. And, of course, as you know, this is going to be the question asked of Bill Belichick about who's calling plays on the offense, who's running the offense, and Belichick gave a Belichick answer.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
How do you feel about this, Bart?
I mean, it's a Bill answer, right? Like, he's the smartest man in the room. Nobody else is qualified to ask him a legitimate question. So I'll just make you feel idiotic and stupid. So you know how that is, man. It happens all the time. You know, we're accustomed to hearing that. You know, I can't wait till the regular season start. So the follow-up to the follow-up question is, can come up. Because he skates around a lot of this, but – you can get away with that because ultimately people believe that, it'll work. He'll work it out. And then ultimately Bill, Tom Brady and him figure it out and they're right where they're supposed to be. But I think this year is going to be something different. And I think after this season we're going to start having to, like, really say, wow, you know, was it really all about 12? Will Bill Belichick ever get to another Super Bowl? Will the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott with that coaching staff, with that quarterback in his prime, will they hunt, will they haunt the division just like Tom Brady did? Because, Josh Allen's going to be around for the next 10 to 15 years. Bill Belichick won't. Yeah, Bill Belichick won't.
True. Yeah. No. All things to watch here. Now, Bart mentioned a couple of things. Number one, first of all, we'll have Tim Hasselbeck on in the 1 o'clock hour. He's a perfect guy to ask about this situation specifically. And, of course, also what we saw out of the quarterbacks last night, what we look forward to seeing out of some of the younger quarterbacks that are playing tonight and throughout the weekend. You heard Bart also say that what he can't wait to see already. We begin our new season with Can't Wait, which we'll get to also later in the season, what Bart can't wait to see as we get into each football weekend. But we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We love playing overreaction whenever we have games, so let's play that game. Overreaction of last night's games and what we look forward to for the games coming up this weekend. And also, by the way, Deshaun Watson is playing tonight for now. But what's the latest on what the Browns will do at the quarterback position? We'll get that coming up after Bart tells us about O'Reilly.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take that chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car and your car budget. Make sure your vehicle's ready for summer. Oh, summer's almost over. And fall. Drive by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And I won't read production out
you
the
just,
read.
You just did.
Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, he's expected to be on the field and starting the preseason opener Friday night.
I wasn't surprised because I know that the Browns want to get him on the field as much as possible to get that rust off.
You know, everybody's really waiting on Peter C. Harvey, the appeal arbitrator, to make his ruling here. And meanwhile, they want to see him in game action. So regardless, he will take the field against Jacksonville.
All right, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Your overreactions from last night, what you saw out of the Giants' offense, what you saw out of the Patriots, and the play calling being split between two different people who have really never called offensive plays before, and what Bill Belichick is saying, don't worry about it. It's nothing to be concerned with. We'll get this figured out. Malik Willis, his NFL debut for the Tennessee Titans. A lot of very intriguing stuff you saw out of him. And, of course, Baltimore just keeps winning in the preseason because that's just what they do. But then tonight, as I mentioned, we've got five games tonight as we continue week one of the NFL preseason. And you've got the Falcons and the Lions. You've got the Cardinals and the Bengals. You've got the Jets and the Eagles. And you've got the Packers and the 49ers, which is hilarious because Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers. But then, of course, the game everybody's going to be looking at is the Browns and the Jaguars, partly because I did not see yet if Trevor Lawrence is playing, but I imagine he should at least one series, right? But Deshaun Watson, we know for sure, is going to play tonight. Now, we have kind of mentioned this a couple of times, Bart. He is already going to be suspended six games at least. An appeals process now as we wait for the final word on that. It could be more. It likely will be more. And we'll see if it's an entire season. And if it is, what do the Browns do? And the reports now continue to come out that if Deshaun Watson is going to miss a significant, if not all, of the coming season as part of this appeal for his suspension, they would entertain the idea of trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jeremy Fowler said it this morning on Get Up that at first they were like, nah, we're all set. But now, because of how things have gone, they are at least willing to consider it, make the call, and see if it's a way that they need to go, because they are one hit away, even with Jacoby Brissett, they are one hit away from Josh Rosen being their starting quarterback. That's how that's the situation now in their quarterback room. And we also get the latest from Diana Russini yesterday on This Just In about the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland.
Well, as of now, he's going to star and play at least a series. The thought process there in Cleveland is that he hasn't played a lot of football. There's tons of rust, which is why they're doing this and putting it out there and putting him out there, despite the fact that we know there's a lot of distractions going on right now and a lot of noise. And, you know, it's probably important to note here, Max, this could change. If the appeal process goes through and a ruling comes down before the game on Friday and the NFL gets that full year suspension that they've been looking for, Deshaun Watson won't be able to play in the game. And the Cleveland Browns are really put in a really tough position. They've got four quarterbacks on the roster that all need work. And for them, the most important thing is that Deshaun Watson gets out there to work and try to get back out on the football field since it's been so long. But remember, no matter what happens here, no matter what, we're not going to see him out in the field until after week six.
Well, we could hear as early as today. We could hear as soon as today, maybe even during this show, how long Deshaun Watson will have to sit out games this coming season.
I just don't understand it, because if you have an arbitrator that's had one rule, then this person overrules the official ruling, then that sounds to me like then it's going to be another filing saying that this is unjust and it's going to be some type of injunction or something. You know, it'll be something. They'll take it to another
That was
process.
Kind of the rumor that they might sue, like that there would be a way to sue and take it to court and all that other stuff, and that could just drag this thing on for a while. Like, remember, Zeke Elliott kind of did the same thing. But, you know, we'll see. Again, I think it also does depend on just how long. But the fact that Roger Goodell came out publicly giving his opinion that it should be a full year.
He just don't get it. He just don't get it, man.
Like, that kind of suggests that might be the way he hopes it goes or expects it to go.
Sometimes he does these aloof, goofball things. You know what I mean? He's not the best general. He's not the best commissioner out there. You know what I mean?
I actually think he's very calculated in what he does.
And somebody's telling him what to do. I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
I don't think he did that by mistake. I think he wanted it out there.
Yeah, he's trying to win the public. He's trying to win the public over, because you know he had missteps. But how can you appoint somebody and say, oh, listen, we have a woman, she's qualified, she's going to hear some of these rulings, I'm going to step away, and then you step in when you don't get the result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Now you undermine her. So now
you remember, though, that's written in the agreement. That's written in the agreement that they can do that.
That's fine. That's fine. But now if I'm her and if I'm anybody, I'm saying, nah. If she's going to quit, so now you're going to lose that whole, oh, we have a woman judge that's going to hear these cases out for us. Because now if I'm her, you just made a mockery of me, and you just undermined my authority. So you can have this little charade show that you're trying to put up here for public consumption, and you can kick rocks, punk.
Calling the commissioner a punk. 888-SAY-ESPN.
It's stupid. I don't understand how you can empower somebody and then not agree. So why even have them?
Well, it's just the whole process. It's the same thing with a judge. A judge can make a decision, and then they can appeal and go to another court.
No, he said we're going to appeal.
That's how the legal system works, though.
Man, he appealed. But the players
agreed to this, though, Bart. They agreed to this.
They're just following the protocol of how this whole process works. I'm sure the players never thought that the judge would make a ruling, because –
Maybe the players never thought that a player would do the things that Deshaun Watson did.
It don't matter. Like, whatever it was, they didn't think, okay, well, we hear all the facts. They do an internal investigation. They have a woman that was a judge, somebody that has a outstanding mm-hmm. reputation.
Yeah.
She makes it, and all of a sudden, before she even finishes saying what her determination is, you're saying, no, we don't like that. Then why even have her? It's why even have it?
Again, because it's a process. That's why. They have to do it
that
way.
It's a flawed process.
But in the end, it goes back to what he – in the end, it's always going to go back to what they want. And the appeal now goes through. And now we'll see. He appointed someone to oversee it, look into it. You never know. He could come out and say, eight games.
Well, let's just skip that process, and then let's just go straight to that person then. Since he's the final say, let's just go to that person. Because why even waste our damn time?
You know what? You're right. Because it used to be judge, jury,
a whole damn year.
Judge, jury, and executioner. And he doesn't want that anymore. He wants there to be a process.
Well,
and
he still is. He still is.
That's why he's not the one overseeing this. He appointed someone else. So they can't say that about him.
He appointed somebody twice. But if he don't like what the first person say, let's go to the second person. Why have the first person?
You're not wrong, but that is the whole process that the players agreed to in collective bargaining. Let's see how this thing plays out. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You see how we're starting out. Red hot on a Friday. So we've got your calls. And also, the NBA is retiring Bill Russell's number. That's a good thing. But should LeBron continue to wear it, even though he can? That's something I think worth discussing. We'll do that, your calls, and much more. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I mean, this is the reality of where we are right now as we get old.
These young dudes don't appreciate history. When I was a kid, I knew what was happening in the 70s. I wasn't born in the 70s, but I knew about what happened in the 70s. These kids have no appreciation for how they got here. They just want this free damn ride that they get and don't understand how they got the free damn ride.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN
Ungrateful
Radio.
Son of.
You know what, though? We were once that.
No, team. I've always appreciated it.
You did when you got older.
No.
And
I was taught different.
Listen, all I know is in the 80s, when I was watching Jordan, Bird, and Magic, and Ewing, and all that, and then I would see like clips from the 70s of the guys with the short shorts and the Chuck Taylors. I'm like, man, that ain't basketball.
I love Dave Bing.
When I was a kid, I had that attitude. Now, when I got older, yeah, the respect factor comes back because you just see like, wait, they were playing on concrete floors with those shoes on every night?
Playing with
traveling
Converse,
by car
Chuck
and
Taylor.
Train? Right? Like, then you start saying, like, wait a minute, now that's a different kind of respect. You know, like what? How, they had it, what? This is how they hydrated, Bart. Six-pack of, you know, Rheingold.
Yeah, they had
you
no
know,
Gatorade.
Like, that's how
Gatorade
you hydrated.
Gatorade wasn't created yet.
Gatorade, please.
Wasn't created yet.
No. So it was a different world. So then you start respecting the fact, like, that's how they did it, and they still were dominating their league. So that's where it's at right now. But speaking of which, history is being acknowledged again by the NBA, as it should, from the passing of Bill Russell, who passed away on July 31st at the age of 88. I mean, he lived a successful, amazing life.
And he got his roses, too. He got his
and
roses. That's what I love. He got
and
his
he
roses.
Did. But the one rose he didn't get was something that I feel like, here's one thing. You know, you could say what you want about the NHL and Gary Bettman and everything else. People are critical of a guy who I've always respected over the last, you know, 20 years that I've known him and covered him. Gary Bettman does what he can for a sport like the NHL. But the one smart decision they made was retiring 99, Wayne Gretzky, the best player in the history of the sport, who has every record possible, and the man is still around to see the fact that the whole league honors him. Bill Russell's number six, the league announced yesterday, will be retired throughout the NBA. So this coming season, every team's going to wear a patch, which actually, if you think about it, a shamrock with a six on it, on a Knick jersey, on a Laker jersey, on a Heat jersey. Think about that for a minute.
Sacrilegious for first of all.
Yeah, I'm saying, if you're the Lakers, like, you know, it shows you, though, but that's how much respect you have. But the number is going to be retired. Now, the league, of course, understands that there's, I think there's 25 players who have the number six. And because it's so late in the summer, it's very difficult. The league has rules about changing your number because of, obviously, marketing and everything else and jersey sales. But they are making an exception. If a player wants to change it out of respect, you can. Now, the only player who wears number six in the league right now who is a player whose jersey sales are considerable, it's LeBron James, who in 2021 with the Lakers went from 23 back to his number six. So he's worn two numbers throughout his career, six and 23. 23 in Cleveland, six in Miami, 23 again, 23 in Lakers, and then now six again. Do you think LeBron should continue to wear six and say it's in honor of Bill Russell, which we know the original decision to wear number six had nothing to do with Bill Russell?
Right. But if anybody should be able to get a pass for it, not because what he is as a basketball player, but what he is as a philanthropist, what he's done with I Promise, you know, he has the spirit as far as giving in the community work that he's done in his philanthropy of a Bill Russell, who was one of the major people that helped lead, you know, the African-Americans through the Civil Rights Movement, him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. He has that spirit. So I would have no problem with him saying that he's wearing it in honor, because he has lived up to the promise of the Civil Rights Movement.
What if he did this? I'm going to wear it for one more year. Since we all have the patch on anyway, I will do it in honor of Bill, and then I will go back to my number 23.
Well, then, if I'm Jeffrey Jordan, using your Gary Bettman knowledge or method, right, you look at the fact that you say Wayne Gretzky was given his roses because he's the greatest.
Like, even Jackie Robinson, 42 is retired by baseball, but well after he passed. You know,
Well, then that means Jeffrey's number should be retired then. Nobody should ever be able to wear number 23. Give Michael Jordan. You see his damn eyeballs. I don't know what that. I don't know what kind of jaundice yellow eyeballs he got, man. But they need to go ahead and
let's not start predicting any demise of.
Well,
that's
not it. Not it. No, it's not
Please
a demise.
Don't do that.
It's not a demise. I'm just saying, man. Dude, like, he got jaundice. All he do is drink brown and smoke cigars. But I'm saying we should. He got adult jaundice. He don't know it yet. He need those little blue lights. He need the blue lights and the sunglasses. But
well.
Listen, somebody had to say it.
But I'm with you. I am with you on the fact that for Michael Jordan, when you consider, again, if you're retiring six and it's well-deserved, nobody's even questioning it. But if six is going to be retired by the league, 23 should be retired by the league for the same reason. It is the fact that the sport is where it is because of him. The impact that he has had on this sport is unmatched. Unmatched. And it's only because of the time period that he came in the 80s, when he became a brand to market and the league was benefiting from it and players benefited from it. Yeah. He was a champion. So he was a great player who won a lot and has become a transcendent athlete in the world. And this sport benefited from it. And that is something you have to recognize. Now, did Michael Jordan do anything near what Bill Russell did off the court? No.
Not at all.
But not when it comes
Gretzky
to
did what Wayne Gretzky did.
Yeah, well, Wayne Gretzky is, again, think about it. That story is this. Wayne Gretzky moving to the Kings when he did from Edmonton in the late 80s, it helped the sport expand into warm weather cities, places that you never thought ice would be able to be maintained throughout a whole winter. And what it's turned into is like the Sun Belt opened up, where it's not just L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, Texas. Like, you started seeing the sport,
Charlotte,
Florida,
now.
The sport started to expand to
Vegas.
Places that it wasn't traditional. Right. It's in Vegas now, too. All because of the how people were just so enamored by Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
So the sport grew
of
because
time.
Of him. Well, I know you're going to say Gordie Howe. And you know what? Wayne will say the same thing. That was his idol. That's why he wore 99, because it was, of course, he didn't want to wear 9. So he wore 99. So anyway, so the Jordan thing is worth mentioning. I wonder if that will ever come to fruition just because the impact that he has had. And I just feel like, let's do it before, you know, before he's gone. Now, the league honored Bill Russell with the finals MVP, naming that after him, and he was around to see that, of course, so right. That's important. And I really don't think at that point of his life, Bill Russell was going to say, Number six. Yeah, that sounds great. Like, I don't think it's something that mattered personally to him.
He was a confident guy, though, man. He would tell everybody. I remember he had Shaq and Elijah. He was like, I will kick all your asses.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was great. All the videos of the stuff, the conversations that he's had, it's all fun to watch. But it's a good move by the league. Good to see, but definitely worth bringing up. Should LeBron keep six, or should he say, you know, I'll wear it one more year in honor and then go back to 23. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Everybody, we got a lot of conversations to get to now. The phones are jammed, so we want to get to you in part of the conversation so far that we have started today. A lot more to get to, of course, as the NFL preseason is now underway. Week one, we had two games last night, more to come tonight, five games tonight, and of course, throughout the weekend. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us. We'll discuss everything we saw there, looking forward to games as well. Bart will give you what he can't wait to see over this weekend. We also want you to tune into an American League East rivalry tomorrow night. And what are we talking about, Bart? Of course, the Red Sox and the Yankees. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN
app. I thought you were talking about the Phillies and the Mets. Never mind.
American League. Try to keep up. It's an Effin' Friday on Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Right, it's Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get to the people, Bart. We begin with Robert in Virginia. Got a question for you. Yeah, Robert.
Yes, sir. I'm surprised at this point that you guys would question Belichick. You know, he knows exactly what he's going to do, and he's got a really good young quarterback, and I think they're going to have a great year, and I'm surprised that you guys would question him.
Is he top 15 quarterback?
He's probably a top two for the rookies.
You're saying Mac Jones is top 15 quarterback in the league?
No, he said he's top two for the guy. I think when you said rookies, you meant the second year quarterback.
He's smart.
Right?
No, I'm talking about trying to win. You know, I'm talking about they're not better than Buffalo, correct?
I favor Buffalo for sure.
So tell me this: if they're not better than Buffalo, that means they have to get in as a wild card. You got the AFC West, you got the AFC North. So do you even have the Patriots making the playoffs this year?
Oh, I think they make the playoffs. And, that time of the year, anything can happen.
I think Mac Jones
is the real winner.
But they make the playoffs over
I think the
who?
Bigger question – but the bigger question is not about Mac Jones, Bart. The bigger question is what Robert is saying is why are we questioning Bill Belichick? And that's the thing is we are so programmed to just accept the fact that he knows what he's doing.
Right.
But this is very odd to have two guys who have never been play callers before suddenly become play callers, and we don't know who it's going to be, and it's with a second-year quarterback.
Do we?
I think, Robert, it's fair to just say, like, this is something you got to watch here. Like, I don't think we just lay out and say, it's Bill. He knows what he's doing. Very strange.
Do we question Greg Popovich?
Both of those guys are very, very good coaches. And,
okay.
And,
Joe Judge?
And being a defensive coach.
They two fired coaches.
It's a good thing.
They're
you
two
understand
fired
offenses
coaches.
When you're a defensive coach. Right. And I like Joe Judge a lot. I don't think the Giants should
he
have
got fired.
I think that guy's a real winner. And so, believe me.
He got fired in 2 years.
He was a very good special teams coach. And he's young.
Where? He got
the
fired
Giants
twice.
Were a big rebuild.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Robert. You've got a lot more faith than
he
I
got
do
fired.
In these kind of things.
Tell me this. Would you question Greg Popovich now? He hasn't been relevant. His team has. I think him and Bill Belichick is very similar. The game is changing, and they had great players, generational players. They don't have those players anymore, so anybody can make great decisions. We got the greatest quarterback of all time. What great decision, what great game has he won since the great one has left? None.
I'll tell you what. Here's
so
what
that's
we'll
what
do.
I'm questioning.
Here's what we'll do, Robert, because I know you listen to the show regularly. We'll see how this goes throughout the season, and I give you the I told you so. You absolutely can call us back with an I told you so when it works out. But it's definitely something worth questioning, and we certainly are doing that. More your calls in 10 seconds. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Got a lot of people jamming up the phone lines, Bart Scott. Let's talk to them, shall we? Ron's sure. In Florida. What's up, Ron?
What's going on? I have to agree with Bart. I don't even know why the NFLPA put somebody – in place to sign the collective bargaining agreement that gave Goodell the right to overturn somebody else's arbitrator's decision. The process, her hands were tied. She could only, it's like going to court, right? And the judge can only give you the maximum amount of sentence handed down by the judicial system. Same thing in this case. If they wanted to change it, they should have changed the process, and that's in the collective bargaining agreement that's coming up. Him having the power to overturn it, shame on the NFL Players Association executives that run that office that allowed that to happen, because they're screwing players daily out of their own money. Not to mention that I am on the side of the women, and because I believe he should be banned, just like Rice. He violated, and he was a predator. He should be out. He should be out. However, he gave it to an arbitrator that made a decision. Now, that for him to play tonight, oh, my God, what a slap in the face. I'm going to watch just so I can make sure he plays, just to rub it in Goodell's face.
I mean, we have precedent because Ben Roethlisberger did something similar, and he only got 8 games, and it was reduced to 6. So, I mean, we have precedent, so you can't change the law. That's what I'm saying. You can't automatically – he doesn't have any – they're all civil cases. They're not criminal. So it's not, you know, if that's the case, what I'm saying is I want him to have the same energy when you ask the question about what should happen to Dan Snyder. Then it's crickets then. So, like, don't act like you're on some moral high horse and that you care about women, you care about the cause, you care about the look. But when it comes to Dan Snyder, who's accused of way worse, crickets. Where's that same energy? So don't try to piss on my head and tell me it's raining. Because I'm not that stupid. Like, stop it. Have that same energy. Don't you can't flip-flop where your rage is. It's a public plea. It's a public play. And I'm not that dumb.
Yeah, him not be, because he has the choice where he could have handled the appeal process. He decided not to, saying he was busy. But it's clear, and it makes, of course, sense, where he's trying to pretend that he's not really involved in it. But I wonder if him saying what he said about wanting a full year is perhaps a part of him knowing that, based on history and what Sue L. Robinson used as evidence and came up with her decision, that it won't be that because there is no precedent for it. And so him saying it will make it look like, well, this is what I wanted, but our process only made it 6 games or 8 games. That's the part I'm curious to see. Not if this appeals process leads to a whole season. I think it would be more interesting that if it didn't, and he's now just saying, well, that's what I wanted, but I didn't get what I wanted. So now it looks like he doesn't have that judge, jury, executioner label that everybody thought he did have.
Well, I wish a reporter, I hope the reporters do their job, because the natural follow-up when he made that statement would be, well, if that's what you want, what do you want for Dan Snyder?
Huh? Yeah, it's interesting that question is never asked.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Sorry, I got to go.
Well, you also understand, too, though, that process is still going on, I believe.
Still?
What do you mean?
No, I feel you, but still.
Has he even done the deposition yet? Wasn't he supposed to do a deposition? That hasn't been done yet. You remember, they don't do anything till the legal process is over. Then they do what they do.
Wasn't he called?
So that is still ongoing.
Congress? When he called? Like,
but I don't know if that hasn't been resolved yet. Yeah, you have to wait till it's resolved before they handle that problem. So,
I can't wait to that.
You know that they didn't do that with Watson. They didn't say a word about Watson until that process of him going through, A, the deposition, B, settlements, all that. Then the league decided, okay, now we can step into this thing. Let's go to Jeff in Queens. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Friday, TGIF, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't know if you're gonna like this call, but I gotta stick up for my guy. He's my man, and he's my quarterback. But this is a message for a couple of guys, if you don't mind. Chris Canty, Mike Florio, Keyshawn Johnson, Bob Scott, the great Chris Sims, and Mike Tannenbaum, just to name a few. I'm a Dolphins fan, and I'm tired of people picking Tua apart. Just let me say one thing real quick. The kid came out of college with a broken hip. He had the worst offensive line in football. He had no running back. He had 1.5 weapons. That was Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. He had a coach that hated him. He had 7 offensive coordinators. And he had the Deshaun Watson rumors that all he did was be a man, not like Baker Mayfield and cry when, you know what, yeah, Deshaun Watson's better than Tua. Guess what? Tom Brady's also better than Tua also that we were looking to get.
It's all fair points.
So how do you hate on this poor guy that we were trying to get two of the best quarterbacks in the league that we're not sold? Yeah, he's not Justin Herbert. He's not Joe Burrow. He's like, you know what he's going to be? and I can't wait. And Bart, this is for Bart. I can't freaking wait till he proves everybody wrong, because he's going to be a lefty Drew Brees. That's all I got to say, guys. Thank
Jeff,
you so much.
Jeff, if he's so great, then why, when they put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, why did the team look 20 times better? If he's going to be anything, Ryan Fitzpatrick was never a top 20 quarterback in his league.
Bart, you play football all your life. Let me tell you something. Coming off a major hip surgery, don't you need your hips to throw a football? Now, it's not just all arm strength, is it? The kid just had major hip surgery. He had the worst offensive line in the league. I don't know if there are excuses for the kid, but how do you expect him to be a good quarterback with all that's going on in his life? Did Justin Herbert have the worst offense? Justin Herbert had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler. You know, give me a break. Jamar Chase.
Jeff, we got to leave it there, Jeff. Jeff, we got to leave it there. You made your case. One thing you can say is Tua absolutely has handled this the right way, but he's got to perform on the field. No doubt about that. Hey, by the way, speaking of Brady, is it a big deal that he's going to be away from the Bucs? We'll discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.